time for the Million Pound Radio Show election special, and here are your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Thank you. Thank you very much and good evening. Welcome to the Million Pound Radio Show election special. And tonight, cash prizes to be won in our Spot the Norman Lamont competition.
Yes, and we'll have Scottish nationalist Sean Connery in the studio. And we'll be asking him the questions you want answered. Namely, will the Scots Nats sever the Union? Where do they stand on defence? And why does James Bond never get the clap?
So what do you think of the campaign then?
Well, I thought it livened up, you know, once Major started doing that soapbox routine. You know, high-risk strategy, of course.
Well, how come?
Well, apparently Central Office were really worried that if John Major appeared on TV alongside a wooden box, then people might get confused. You
know? Yeah. It threw me, Hello?
Look, this is Conservative Central Office Monitoring Unit here, protesting in the strongest possible terms that there's been an indefensible imbalance towards jokes about the Conservatives, including one deeply offensive skit, unfairly ascribing anonymity to the Prime Minister, John...
Major.
Major, thank you. This call has been logged. Good day.
Oh, come on, we'll have to be careful on balance now, yeah. Nick, because... Oh. Hello?
This is Labour headquarters. We are protesting that the Tories had a complaint broadcast live on air without a right of reply being given to the Labour Party. We demand that... Sorry about that. Kaufman got out of the cupboard for a second. Where were we? We demand equal airtime with the Tories or else. Good day.
Oh, well, we just have to be ultra-careful now that we're even-handed.
So, like, for example, if we say Major is grey and dull, then we've got to say that Kinnock's verbose.
That's torn it, Nick. You used two adjectives for Major and just one for Kinnock, didn't you? We owe Kinnock an adjective now.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is wanker an adjective?
No. No, that's a doing word.
Tell you what, all this balance stuff, I'm amazed we haven't heard from the Liberal Democrats yet. Hello?
Will you accept a reverse charge call, please, caller?
Yeah, we'll accept the call.
Hello, this is the Liberal Democrats, and so far you've included four mentions of John Major, four of Neil Kinnock, but no mentions at all of Paddy Ashdown.
Right, thank you, we'll rectify that. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, we've got to find four things to say about Paddy Ashdown.
Four.
Yeah, four. Ooh. It's funny, isn't it? Just mention Paddy Ashdown, your mind goes a complete blank.
Yeah. Oh, actually, of course, there is one other very good reason why we should be as impartial as possible.
What's that?
Well, because the polls are still open, aren't they? I mean, if we express the preference, it could swing the election, couldn't it?
Could it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Vote Natural Law Party! Vote what? Natural Law Party! Natural Law Party, I want them to win.
Well, why?
Because they're going to nourish people spiritually, Andy, and produce a disease-free society. Everyone knows that. And also, I'm very interested in that yogic flying. It could save me a bomb on petrol.
Nick, yogic flying, as I understand it, right, can only be achieved in a state of spiritual transcendence. You know?
No problem, Andy. I've been studying it, haven't I? Now, watch out, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into a trance now, yeah? So don't be alarmed if I look kind of vacant and blank.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
I haven't started yet.
So, you're going to do the yogic flying now?
Yes, that's right.
Going to bounce along
on my knees with my legs crossed, my arms folded. Here goes, and see?
Demonstration of yogic plummeting there from Nick. And while he regains consciousness, let's listen to a report that Nick recorded earlier on the Labour campaign.
Well, it's day one of the campaign, and I'm here at Labour headquarters, where its PR team is drawing up the strategy. So let's just listen in.
OK, right, now we need a good positive start. How should we begin?
Well, Neil could make a typical barnstorming speech.
No, that's no good. It's only a three-week campaign.
Yeah. I've got an idea. I could possibly make some witty remarks, combining the best bits of all our humorous articles for Punch magazine.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Actually, you couldn't go and clean the toilets for a while, could you?
Did I turn again?
I know. We could lead on the manifesto.
Ah, no, actually, Julie, I've got a question on the manifesto.
Fire away, Nick.
Well, it's just that in 35 pages, I notice there's no mention of socialism.
Oh, no, you set off the alarm.
Alarm?
Yes, it goes off if anyone mentions the word socialism inside Labour HQ. It's very sensitive to anything remotely socialist. Sometimes it'll be set off by just a duffel coat. Send Hattersley to switch it off, Julie.
Well, it's day four, and we're in a packed shopping centre where Neil Kinnock is just finishing a walkabout. But all through the walkabout, he's been badgered constantly by a Daily Express reporter who's clearly out to provoke that fiery Kinnock temper.
Mr. Kinnock, is it true you'd make Marxism part of the national curriculum? Hey, Mr. Kinnock, would you care to comment on the widely held view that Wales is the arsehole of the universe? Hey? Your wife's a dyke, Kinnock.
Now, Julie, what exactly is going on here?
Well, Neil has found a way to cope with this tactic. As you can see, he ignores these jibes.
Your kids are ugly, Neil.
Neil just keeps his temper in check, just keeps walking. Then he calmly climbs on board the bus, quietly draws the curtains, and then kicks the shit out of Roy Hattersley.
We're now into the final few days. The last Labour PEB has just gone out. Julie, it featured a lot of celebrities endorsing Labour. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, quite simply, someone who, say, liked the film Gandhi will very likely vote Labour if Richard Attenborough tells him to.
Right, yeah, nice one. Oh, sorry, you're serious, aren't you? Oh, thank you, Julie. This has been Nick Revel with the Labour campaign.
Well, later we'll be looking at democracy in Britain and asking, is universal suffrage a good idea in a country where 19 million people watch Darling Buds of May? But... Oh, hello.
Hi, Andy. George Bush here regarding your election. Now, I know it's not my place to interfere in the internal affairs of other countries. I have a department to do that for me, but... I just wanted to tell John Major that I have found there are three surefire ways to win massive, unconditional support at home. Uh-huh. One is cut taxes, two is clamp down on law and order, and three, throw up on the Japanese Prime Minister. Bye. Missing you already.
President Bush there, leader of the civilized world, and, you're right now, Nick.
Yeah, my knees are a bit wrinkly and crumpled, but I'm okay.
We just played your Labour piece. Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel you know more now about natural law?
Well, gravity at least.
Quick, on the floor.
What?
Get down! Canvases.
Oh, yeah.
And past the window.
Shh, don't move.
They're gone. I tell you, these canvases, right, they're driving me bonkers because, you know, I live in a marginal, you know, dreadful. Yeah. And I tell you, yesterday was the worst. Yeah.
And so we just wanted to explain to you, Mr. Hamilton, that Labour's economic policies are the only hope for Britain. We hope you don't mind.
No, of course not.
Oh, good.
I just wish you hadn't tunnelled up through my kitchen floor to tell me.
Well, you wouldn't answer the front door, Mr. Hamilton. You were pretending not to be in, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but we knew you were because we were picking up an image on our heat-sensing equipment.
Heat sensing equipment?
Yeah, we're really professional these days, you know. We used to get outdone in those departments by the Tories, but not anymore.
So, can we count on your vote?
No, I'm afraid I'm just undecided, all right?
Well, don't forget, Mr. Hamilton, that only Labour can offer you security, prosperity and a lift to the polling station.
But I'm...
In a Porsche.
Yes, but I'm...
Which you can keep forever.
Look, please, will you just get out of my house, okay?
All right, Mr. Hamilton. But before we go, I think there is one thing we can offer which would definitely swing your vote.
What?
Does the word troyalism mean anything to you, Mr. Hamilton?
Oh, my God.
Yes, Only Labour offers you a rumpy, pumpy sandwich.
Oh, please, get out.
So, the Labour canvassers offered you group sex?
Yeah.
Great, all I got was a poster to stick in the window. Why can't I live in a marginal?
Hey, that was nothing. It got worse, you know. 30 seconds later, I've got the Liberal Democrat on my doorstep.
The point about our campaign, Mr. Hamilton, is it's the only one to rise above the gutter.
Well, that is good.
Yes, yeah. I think I can safely say that only the Liberal Democrats can offer you integrity, honesty and oral sex.
Oh, for God's sake. Look, I said...
Mr. Hamilton, we're from the Conservative Party. Just wondering if you decided which way to vote.
Look, I don't know, OK?
Don't know. Right, fair enough.
Is that it?
Yeah, if you're undecided, that's OK. We wouldn't dream of putting you under any undue pressure.
Oh, right. Oh, well, thank you.
Now, are there any other voters registered on these premises?
Only my wife. She's not here, I'm afraid. She went to pick the kids up and she's late back.
Yes, she is, isn't she?
That is appalling. They kidnapped Libby and the kids. What did you do?
I slammed the door in their face.
A bit risky, wasn't it?
I knew they wouldn't hold my kids for long.
Why not?
Well, you've met them.
Oh, yeah. They are a bit spirited, aren't they?
Yeah.
So how long were they held for, then?
Oh, about 20 minutes, you know, and the kids were back on the doorstep, you know, Robbie smiling and gurgling away with someone's ear in his mouth. And Pitt waving that Stanley knife.
Oh, the one I gave him for his birthday?
Yeah, he gets a lot of use out of that, you know.
So do you reckon the Tory candle will win in your constituency, then?
Oh, not with one ear. It puts people off, I think. Well, undoubtedly, the central issue in this election has been the economy. Sir Reginald Snape, you're a top city financier.
Yes.
Now, you must be very alarmed by the parlous state our economy is in.
No, not at all. There's some very encouraging factors. For instance, signs of movement in the housing market, manufacturing output in the last year.
All right, let's look at Britain's manufacturing output in 1992. There it is, three washers and a button. Not very encouraging, is it? Now, Professor Dorothy Jones, if I can bring you in, you're a leading economist. Now, this is a very worrying situation, isn't it?
Yes, but you see, you have to look beyond the statistics to the underlying trend, which is positive.
And this is what you use to predict the direction of the economy?
Yes.
And they're just ordinary sheep's entrails, are they?
Oh, yes.
And these entrails forecast the economy accurately?
Well, they're certainly more accurate than the Treasury computer, yes.
Goes without saying, obviously. Perhaps we could widen out this discussion now to look at the whole area of the way the market functions with our final expert, Paul Gascoigne.
Oh, my last shoes in this is Gandalf's Ghost Roots in this is a mud me. Look at me tongue.
Slightly cryptic answer from Gather there.
If I might butt in, the market works to basic economic mechanisms.
Right.
For instance, if you hold down interest rates, you put more money in people's pockets, which invites recovery because they then spend that money in the shops.
Except they don't, do they? I mean, interest rates have been down a while now, and consumer spending hasn't risen. I mean, how do you explain that?
Cussedness. People are deliberately refusing to save the economy by not spending their money.
Well, you can't force them to spend it, can you?
With press gangs, you could. I mean, just get the SAS to kick people's doors down, drag them down to Tesco's, force them to load their shopping trolleys at gunpoint. Yeah,
Gazza, why did you just crash tackle Sir Reginald?
I don't know, I just panicked, you know.
You all right? You haven't hurt your leg again, have you?
Oh, it's too early to tell, Andy. It takes a few months for the pain message to reach my brain, you know.
Well, now, later, we'll be looking at the manifestos.
I got the Democratic Ulster Unionist manifesto through my letterbox yesterday.
Yeah, what did it say?
Oh, it's just a big sheet of paper with NO! Written on it.
I tell you, I'm actually quite looking forward to the election tonight because it might start to get really exciting, you know.
Yeah, I know.
If the Tories start losing some of those marginals, you know, like Chris Patten in Bath,
right.
Giles Brandreth in Chester.
Oh, no. Chester's a huge Tory majority. It's not a marginal.
With Brandreth as a candidate, I think we can safely say that's a marginal name.
Yes.
Okay. And Seb Coe's fighting another Tory marginal down in the West Country.
Yeah, he's had a great slogan, though. Vote for me. I can run fast. really cheeses me off, you know, though, all these celebrities running for Parliament. I mean, the only one I've got any respect for is Glenda Jackson, you know, because she's shown a lot of personal courage.
All right. When has she shown all this personal courage?
Andy, she filmed a sex scene with Oliver Reed.
Yeah.
Without anaesthetic.
Yeah.
You must remember that.
Oh, yeah. I bet Oliver Reed doesn't mind you, man. Well, now it's time to turn the show over to you, the voters, and questioning Michael Heseltine, Jack Cunningham and Des Wilson. On your behalf, we've got Mrs. Josie Hughes, a housewife from Greater Manchester. Josie, the microphone is yours.
Thank you. My first questions are to Michael Heseltine. How are you going to get us out of recession? When are you going to fund education properly? And what are you going to do about your hair?
Well, with all due respect, I hardly feel my hair is a crucial issue in this election, but in response to your first point...
Well, I'm sorry, your hair is an issue. I mean, it's a lovely head of hair, but it's on the wrong head. It's a young man's head of hair on an old man's face. You look silly. You look like you're auditioning for status quo.
Well, really, I thought we were here to discuss issues.
Actually, Josie, if you could just stick to the issues, OK?
Fair enough. Mr. Heseltine, training for the unemployed, I don't think you're spending enough on it.
Well, I can happily assure you, in real terms, we're spending more than ever before.
Yeah, but that's just statistics, though, isn't it? The fact is, it's clear to me, for a start, that where you live, there aren't enough trainee hairdressers.
Oh, look, for the last time!
Well, doesn't it get in your eyes? It must do. You're always playing with it. You're doing it now. You're making it greasy.
Josie.
Yeah?
Perhaps you have a question for Jack Cunningham.
Yeah, I most certainly do. Now then, Mr. Cunningham, Labour say they're going to increase spending on all aspects of healthcare.
Absolutely. We're committed to the health service, from new hospitals right the way through to dental care.
But how can I believe that commitment when it is quite patently contradicted by the state of your teeth? Have you not heard of dental floss? They're like moss-covered tombstones.
Josie, look. I don't know. Look, maybe if we turn to Des Wilson, right, our Liberal Democrat, and please, let's stick to politics, OK?
OK. Mr. Wilson, I'm very worried about the ramifications of tactical voting. Please, can you reassure me?
Yes. I can promise that a vote for the Liberal Democrats is a vote for the Liberal Democrats.
Not where I live it in. Where I live, it's a vote for a little bearded pixie with no tie and sandals. He's more of a scruff than Heseltine.
I'm not standing for this.
Oh, well, Mr. Heseltine, storming out in off. We've never seen that before. And you can stop smiling, Jack Cunningham. It makes me feel quite ill. Oh, what the bloody hell!
Did you see that? A yogic flyer shoots right across the studio from nowhere and knocks her out.
I know. That's dreadful. I mean, that's what happens when you teach yogic flying to a BMW driver.
Yeah.
Look at him now, right up that pigeon's arse, banging his horn. He looks a bit like David Owen, actually. David Owen's not in the Natural Law Party, is he?
Well, can only be a matter of time.
Yeah. So, Nick, what have you made of the campaign so far?
Well, to be honest, I've missed a lot of it. You know, I've been too busy working, you know, acting jobs.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What sort of acting jobs?
Oh, this and that, you know. Just a bit of film work, that's all.
What did you play?
A chauffeur.
And what was the story of the film?
Well, I was a chauffeur just driving some bloke around the streets where he grew up. In... Brixton.
Brixton, this bloke, did he by any chance have a gap where his top lip should have been?
Okay, it was me.
I knew it.
I drove John Major's car in the election broadcast. Okay, I didn't know what the job was going to be, and I'm telling you, it was a bloody nightmare from the moment I arrived on the location.
Okay, Mr. Major, now what would be really exciting is if you looked as if you didn't know that your old house was still there. Okay, so just try that.
Is it still there? It is. It's still there. It's still there.
Well, keep practicing that, will you? Yeah, well, I'll chat to the driver here.
It's still there.
Okay, now,
Nick.
Yeah, right. Now, this is the story. You get in this nice, big, shiny Daimler, and you drive the Prime Minister here around the back streets of Brixton.
You want me to drive through the streets of Brixton? with the leader of the most unpopular government since the war in the back of the car.
Yeah.
A bit scary, but you went through with it, presumably.
Yeah, the first take wasn't usable because they said me driving at 110 miles an hour made the camera shake too much, yeah, you know.
Well, you must have managed it because I saw the finished product, John Major driving through Brixton.
No, not through Brixton.
No?
No, they chickened out in the end, filmed the whole thing in Bexhill, busting a couple of West Indians, you know. Right.
So, you were well paid for featuring in a Tory broadcast, were you, Mr. I'm undermining the establishment from within Revel?
What I did was totally ethical, Andy. I may have appeared in the Tory broadcast, but I was also in the Labour broadcast. The one about the little girl's ear, yeah? I was 19th outpatient, the one with the skin disease.
Right.
I tell you, that one was tricky too. Yeah.
Okay, let's have the outpatients in position. Okay, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Nick.
I'm sorry, Nick. You'll have to go back to makeup. This deformed nose they've given you makes you look ridiculous, okay?
I haven't been to makeup.
Oh, all right. Well, look, sit at the back and... Well, just sit at the back, okay? Now, are we ready, Cordelia, dear? Cordelia?
Yes.
And we've had a few little goes at this, haven't we? And I've tried to explain to you that you're playing a little girl with a very painful ear.
I'm not very happy with this dress, actually. And my dressing room is an insult, and I hate the script. And it makes it very difficult for me to get into the role.
Well, perhaps we can help you. And action! God, that was a bit brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very brutal. I mean, I don't think my nose is that big.
No, I meant a little girl. Oh, it doesn't matter.
My nose is aquiline. Why are you smirking?
I'm not smirking.
You're going to do some stupid joke about my nose, aren't you?
Give me some credit, OK? I wouldn't be that juvenile.
Yeah, well, if you must know, Andy, professionally, my nose is quite an asset, actually.
I'm sure it's opened a lot of doors.
Yes, it has. Very funny, very funny. Here we go. It's open season on Nick's nose.
Oh, you're renting it out for hunting now, are you? That's a good idea.
You've become unbearable ever since John Major started sitting next to you at Chelsea.
Yeah, well, me and Johnny get on quite well, you know. We chew the fat, we think. He's very rowdy.
Yeah?
Yeah, virtually every decision he's up on his feet, you know, pointing and singing, "The referee is most unsatisfactory."
Anyway, it's time now for Andy's campaign report.
Well, it's evening now, and this is the first of Mr. Major's campaign rallies, and it's packed with Conservative supporters who all cheered Mr. Major just as soon as he'd been pointed out to them, and they've, and they've just been playing Andrew Lloyd Webber's anthem, written specially for this event and sung by Jason Donovan. Very, very manfully. And, and now a photo opportunity is being set up, so let's eavesdrop on the 19-year-old marketing executive who's handling that.
The PM will stand here and, excuse me, sir, you, the Chelsea pensioner.
I'm a great admirer of Mr. Major.
Yeah, lovely, but your medals are catching the lights. They'll have to come off.
Oh.
Oh, can we lose the Zimmer frame, please, and pronto?
How long will this rehearsal go on? Only I've been standing here for 36 hours.
Wardrobe, get Norma out of that crimpoline number. She looks like a bag lady.
Excuse me. I think the Chelsea pensioner's just died.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do? I know. When the PM spots the corpse, he points at it and says, "One of these is what the unions were refusing to bury during Labour's winter of discontent." Great! Now we're cooking.
Well, I'm now in number 10, where I've been very kindly allowed to sit in on one of the Prime Minister's sessions with his PR team.
Let's go through these things. The thing is, Prime Minister, there's still some problems of presentation. For instance, viewers are irritated by the way you say the word want.
Want.
No, it's not want with a U, it's want with an A. Which means that for you, there's no such word as can't. Is that clear?
Well, Well, we're back in the Tory battle bus, and with me is Michael Heseltine. Mr. Heseltine, Mr. Major's campaign doesn't seem to be going that well.
No, no, it doesn't, does it?
And that must worry you.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Just across the aisle from me here is Chris Patton. He's on the mobile phone right now.
Yeah, all right, Greaseball. Just you try it, you smarmy dickhead. Sorry about that, Andy. Just provoking Gaddafi. Never know, might get lucky.
Right. Chris Patton, thank you. This has been Andy Hamilton with the Conservative Campaign. Well, that's all for tonight, folks. In 15 minutes, the TV boys will start up, and I suppose it'll be the usual boring polling day footage, you know, Major voting for Major, Kinnock voting for Kinnock, Heseltine voting for Kinnock, you know, but... Now, Nick, you've been keeping an eye on that monitor on the TV coverage. Yeah. Anything exciting?
Nah, they're just doing a report on Gerald Kaufman kissing a baby.
On the news?
No, to the NSPCC.
All right. That's all for tonight. Thank you, and good night.
Good night. Thank you.
The Million Pound Radio Show election special was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Leslie Sharp and Jasper Jacobs. The producer was Paul Mayhew Archer.
It's 2:30 a.m. and now we go over live to BBC TV and David Dimbleby.
Yes, I think. And it's at this point we say welcome to Radio 4 listeners. And you join us at a fascinating moment, really, because with about 250 results in, it does begin to look like a clear and consistent pattern is emerging. Peter Snow, what do you make of it?
Well, David, I think the most striking thing to say is that it's been undoubtedly a very low turnout. Mm-hmm. Maybe this reflects the public being a little fed up with the election, and I would imagine that all the major parties will be a little bit disappointed with this showing.
Now, this low turnout, Peter, in pure numerical terms, in all the constituencies across the country, exactly how many votes have been cast?
None.
So let's be quite clear about this. That's none whatsoever.
That's right. None whatsoever. No votes. 0%. Zilch. Nada.
Right. So if this trend is repeated across the country, what does it mean?
Well, David, we've been feeding the figures into the computer. And if they're correct, and we've no reason to believe they're not, then when all the votes are in, the new House of Commons will look like this.
Empty.
Exactly. Here's the winning post, and as you can see, both Labour and Conservative, just an agonising 326 seats short of an overall majority.
Right. Okay, Michael Heseltine, no votes at all for the Conservatives. You must be very disappointed.
Not at all. Much better than we expected. All through the campaign, the polls had us behind Labour.
Mm-hmm. Harriet Harman.
Oh, how Michael Heseltine can sit there and make such a ludicrous claim when the people of this country have proved once and for all, beyond any doubt, that the Tories are a spent force with absolutely nothing to offer.
And that neither of you.
Well, you may say that.
Yes, but... I may. Des Wilson. Well, you must be utterly demoralised.
On the contrary, it's a great breakthrough. The result really puts us up there with the big boys. No one will laugh at us when we talk about PR now.
Won't they? I think they will, but anyway. Now, Peter Snow, let's just think this through, okay? What this all means in real terms is no votes, so no MPs, so no Parliament, and no parliamentary analysts. Now, what would you say, Peter, to those people who might argue that what we're seeing here is the public's rejection of certain experts who've been flailing their arms around for weeks and generally blathering on about their blessed poll of polls?
Well, it's an interesting theory, David, but there are those well-placed to judge who feel that it may have been the interminable interviews by a certain member of a well-known broadcasting dynasty which has put the British people into a terminal coma.
Well, that's an interesting theory, Peter. And perhaps you'd like to step outside to discuss it if you're man enough. But to sum up again, no votes have been cast, which means no result. So no need for commentators like myself. You, the people, have given your verdict. This is David Dimbleby saying, you bastards.